In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. The scripture says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The 23rd Psalm. When you're having trouble, you have to just say that out loud. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because God is still on the throne and he hears and answers prayer. And if your faith is intact, everything's going to be all right. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Chapter 18 of John, verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You see, Jesus is not going to answer. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or have others told you about me?" You see, if Caesar finds out that there's another king, he's going to close the temple. But Jesus is the king, not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles. He is the king. He is the one who died for us, who rose for us, and who fills us with the Holy Spirit. Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests had handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." I think we all can say that who follow Jesus. The world is not my place. I'm only a witness in the world. I belong to the kingdom of God. The world is not my place. The worldly things I don't care about. It's all about belonging to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you know, if I wanted to, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. Who are the followers? The angels. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Jesus is the truth. This is very interesting. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Do you belong to the truth? Then you hear the voice of Jesus. Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is very sad. He is standing before truth himself, and he says, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." In other words, he's innocent. Why do you want to kill him? Why do you want to crucify him? "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. He was also a murderer. "We are Barabbas. He took our place. You are Barabbas. He took your place. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me." Chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple cloak. He's the April Fool. This is where the April Fool comes from. Jesus is the April Fool. A crown of thorns on his head and a purple cloak. They kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, Look, I am bringing him out to you, so that you will know that I find no case against him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. He's the April Fool. Jesus said to them, Here is the man. Behold the man. When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. Not only did he claim to be, but he is the Son of God. Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered the headquarters again and asked Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate, therefore, said to him, Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release Jesus, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor. In other words, he claimed to be a king because he was a king. But if Caesar finds out, he's going to close the temple. And you know what? The temple got destroyed in the year 70. Why? Because they gave up Jesus. And when you give up Jesus, bad things begin to happen, even though he rose from the dead. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews, Here is your king. They cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate asked them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar, the emperor. Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. Isn't this sad? But you know what? We do the same thing when we deny Jesus, when we are people that don't tell people about Jesus. We do the same thing. There are so many lost people that we need to tell them about Jesus. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which is in Hebrew, it is called Golgotha. There they crucified Jesus, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. The one in the middle had done nothing wrong to deserve crucifixion, but he went to the cross to take away your sins and my sins by his precious blood. Oh yes, we belong to Jesus, Jew and Gentile, because Jesus shed his precious blood. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. And the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Why? Because he is not only the King of the Jews, but the King of the Gentiles. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them in four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now, the tunic was seamless. That was like the tunic that the high priest wore, a seamless garment, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but let us cast lots to see who will get it. This was to fulfill that scripture which says, They divided my clothes among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Every scripture about Jesus will be fulfilled. Every scripture. Now we await the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that scripture will be fulfilled when Jesus comes in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. His mother was there. His mother was there. But not only his mother, but Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. No men, but John. John was the only one who was there as a man. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. I tell you, Jesus loved his mother to the very end. He wanted his mother to be taken care of by the beloved disciple. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." I tell you, he still thirsts. He thirsts for you. He thirsts for me. He thirsts for the world that doesn't know him. He still thirsts, not only for something to drink, but he thirsts for us. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That is the time when Jesus drew all men unto himself, from Adam all the way until the last person to be born. He drew all these people to himself. Now it's finished. It's finished. I've done it. I've done what I was supposed to do. Not only was I crucified, but I was the one that would draw all men and women to myself. And that's what he did. And when he had done this, he says, "It is finished." Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. It was not only the Sabbath, but it was Passover. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other that had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with the spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe, oh yes, that we may believe that he is the Son of God, that we may believe that he is the second person in the Blessed Trinity, that we may believe that he spoke the world into existence. This testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken," Psalm 22. In another passage of scripture, "They shall look upon him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one, because of fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let them take the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh, aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. We see that Jesus had two disciples that were also Pharisees. Nicodemus and Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea. And they took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in spices and linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Nicodemus and Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, they were Pharisees, and they were believers. all the Pharisees were not bad. These are two that became believers in Jesus, though in secret, for fear of the Jews. There was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb. It was a borrowed tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. And so because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. It's very interesting that Jesus is buried in a borrowed tomb. He's not going to be there very much, very long. He's going to be there 3 days and three nights, that's all. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Why was the stone removed? To let Jesus out? No, to let the women in. Jesus walked right through it. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and I do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter while he was much younger and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen clothes wrapping there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had covered Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in itself. Then the other disciple, John, who reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and he believed. He believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary Magdalene stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying. No longer, he's been raised. One at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she returned, and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." "Oh yes, my sheep know my voice." The way he said Mary, she knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." I'm telling you, Jesus made a special trip to Mary Magdalene because he was on his way to the Father. Because when Thomas sees Jesus, Jesus says, "Put your hand in my side and in the nail marks," which means that he already went to the Father. Jesus made a special trip to go to Mary Magdalene to console her. "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Yes, I am ascending. I am ascending. In other words, Mary Magdalene becomes an apostle to the apostles. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. When it was evening of the first day of the first week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met was locked for fear of the Jews. They're afraid they're going to be next. They locked the doors. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He went right through the door. He's a resurrected Lord. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus then said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But on Pentecost, that Spirit became a gusher. It came out of them. And they went and proclaimed to 3,000 Jewish people that Jesus was the Lord, and Jesus died for their sins, and Jesus rose from the dead. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of them, they are retained. But Thomas, one who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of his nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut, locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger in my hands and reach out your hand to my side. Do not doubt, but believe." I tell you, Jesus bore the wounds of crucifixion on his resurrected body. And you see, he's gone to the Father already, because he says, "Touch me." Mary Magdalene, "Don't touch me, I have not yet gone to the Father." He made a special trip to see Mary Magdalene. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Hallelujah. He is the Lord and he is God. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." That's us. That's because I've never seen him, but I know him to be true. I've experienced him. I've had an encounter with Jesus. Have you ever had an encounter with Jesus? If not, hey, Lord, I want an encounter with you. I want to come to know you. I want to come to believe in you. I want to know you, Lord. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. He did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these have been written that you may believe. And that's why we ask people to read the Gospel of John first, so that they would come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through faith you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that he was raised from the dead? Do you believe that he has a plan for you? Do you believe that he allowed Mary Magdalene to see him first? Do you believe that she became an apostle to the apostles? Do you believe that Thomas touched his side and said, "My Lord and my God"? For that's exactly who Jesus is, Lord and God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from you so that we can pay June's bills. You are blessed by these broadcasts. Please bless us so that we have no debt. I will not go into debt. Please help us. And the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or go to the PayPal by going to inseason.net. Go to PayPal and leave a donation. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.